Looking at our study this morning called All to the Glory of God. And again, I'm so glad that you're here. We've been going through the book of Romans. We've written over 280 daily Bible studies on our discipleship living. You can go to our website or download our church app. You can be one of over 600 who are using it. And so when we're looking at Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Verse 2. "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorifying the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is a very, very important part of Scripture today, as each part is, and we see how it all fits together. And you're trying to help us, through your word, understand how we can find victory when in the past we've found frustration and discouragement and division. You're showing us that there's a better way. There's a godly way. And I ask, God, that you'd open our hearts, that you truly would be the teacher. Bless this Bible study in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks again for just being a part of what we're doing. We've been going through the scriptures. We've been going through the book of Romans. And, you know, those first eight chapters are essential. God lays down for us our relationship with him. And he tells us that we're out of order. He's saying the whole human race is out of order with God. And God says, "I'm going to create a way that you can relate to me, relate to the eternal God." And so in Romans, we learn the predicament of the human race, but the wonderful provision from heaven, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, he was buried, he died for the sins of the world, he rose again, he's alive. He's alive from the dead, he's alive right now. And Romans expounds upon that truth in a very systematic way, helping us understand in a fuller, deeper way our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with each other. So much so that he gets to chapter 8 and he says, "There's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." And my heart goes back to that scripture all the time, because so many times I could feel a sense of maybe being discouraged or condemned or down. And I said, "Wait a minute, that's not from God. God said there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death." Amen. What we couldn't do, Christ did for us. So much so that he says at the end of chapter 8, "There's therefore now no separation from the love of God." Oh, we rejoice in that. And you think about, well, what's happening? And what about Israel? In chapters 9, 10, and 11, he speaks about Israel and God's plans for Israel. And then in chapter 12 to the end, he's saying, "Now, this is how you live the Christian life." Really? What are the do's and don'ts that I have to do? And he goes, "I'm not going to lay down any do's and don'ts. It's about a relationship." So, first of all, you've let the world conform you. You've let the world get into your mind. The media wants to change your mind and your opinion. And God says, "Wait a minute. Have a mind of Christ. Be transformed. Be renewed. This is God's plan for you." And that's exciting. And then you say, "Okay, now I'm starting to get it. I want to learn about Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow his ways. I want to serve you, God. How can I serve you?" And God goes, "I'll give you gifts to serve me. I'll provide everything. You just trust me. I'll provide the Spirit of God and the Word of God. I'll give you gifts to serve the living God and to love others." Chapter 12 goes through that. You say, "Okay, I'm starting to get this. But Lord, I live in this world. It's a crazy world. and all the different governments of the world and all the leadership of the world, what am I supposed to do? And he says, submit. Are you kidding me? Lord, does it really say submit? I mean, you don't know who's in charge here or there or anywhere. Lord goes, I know who's in charge. Lord says, I raise him up and I set him down. Well, it wouldn't be my choice. Lord says, I never asked you what your choice was. Lord says, it's my choice. And what you need to do is to submit. And in submitting, you're submitting to me overall. And so he's training our hearts. He's training our lives. He says, well, wait a minute. Didn't you say you wanted to be like me? Yes. So then why are you telling me what to do? The Lord might say to me, why am I telling him what to do? And he says, I'm asking you just to submit. I'm in control. It may look completely chaotic and out of control. God says, I'm in control. You just let me be God. You let me lead and you follow. And in your breaking of your own will, breaking of your own desires, breaking of your own hardness, breaking of your own pride, I'm going to use all these things that you detest. I'm going to use them to change you, to make you different, to make you into the man or the woman that you want to be. Great. Okay. So chapter 12, changing me, my relation. 13, the government. But Lord, I'm in church. And it just seems different. It's like I'm supposed to be different here. Everybody has these expectations, like you're just supposed to be perfect. And Lord, I just, these are people I just don't get along with. Why do they have to go to my church? Can they go to some other church? Let's be honest. And God says, okay, you want to talk about that? Yeah, I want to talk about that. He says, okay, well, here's the problem. Oh, there's another problem. Yes. Would the problem be with me? Oh, yes, it's with you. What's the problem with me, Lord? So last week we saw, the problem is, and if you reflect back in chapter 14, and if you look in verse 10 of chapter 14, he says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So what he's saying is, you've got an attitude. I've got an attitude. And my attitude is, I think I'm better than other Christians. And therefore, I begin to judge other believers. He's not saying you're judging because they're involved in sinful activity. You're judging the non-essentials. So somebody this morning might say, yeah, that was I don't know. What did you think about worship? Well, what do you mean, what did I think about worship? Yeah, they didn't have any hymns, so it really wasn't a worship time if you didn't have a hymn. Oh, really? And who told you that? Her. Her told you about hymns? I don't know. I don't get it. But anyways, I'm just saying right now, I'm using what you might think bizarre illustrations. That wouldn't come from our fellowship. But it could come from other fellowships. I'm just saying, all of a sudden you begin to judge. It's not essential. But it's your heart. It's like, well, wait a minute. Did you talk to that worship leader this week? By the way, did you pray for our worship leader and our worship team? Did you ask God's blessing and his anointing? Hey, did you prepare your heart for worship before you even came? Or were you complaining and grumbling all the way into your spouse? I mean, I don't know what's going on. Hey, stop it, Pastor. You're judging me. If there's any judging going on, I trust it's the Holy Spirit of God. What he's saying is this. He's saying for us as a church, as believers, as followers of Christ, you want to be like Christ. You come to church and you think, okay, it's just a totally different situation. It's not. We're still just a bunch of sinful people gathered together under a wonderful Savior. And a wonderful Savior. And he's working in all of our lives in different ways. And he's teaching us how to surrender more of ourself for his lordship to rule in our lives. And so he's saying specifically to these believers at this time, you're sitting back and you're judging what the diet is of somebody. They're eating meat or not eating meat. You're judging them on what days they're worshiping. He goes, stop it. And then the second thing that he says, again, do not judge, and it's because we're accountable to God. And that's so important for us to really realize. Look at verse 12 of Romans 14. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. So praise God. I give an account to God. You give an account to God. The second thing that's going to cause division in the fellowship is going to cause the life of the Spirit to be weak amongst us is that we cause others to stumble. Again, in Romans 14 and in verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So what he's saying is this, you have liberty as a believer. We're not going to take that liberty away. God's given you liberty. He's given you freedom as a believer in Christ. That's a good thing, isn't it? And so we're not going to, from a ministry, we're not going to take the liberty God's given you and create a list of do's and don'ts. We're not going to do that. God said he's willing and able to speak to you. He's going to speak to you through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God. And he's going to speak to all of us individually on what's important. And so he's saying, first and foremost, be careful. You're accountable to God. Don't be judging people in areas that you have no business to be judging them in. Secondly, do not cause somebody to stumble. He says, by doing that, you're showing love for others. Notice verse 19. Therefore, again, Romans 14, 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which one may build up or edify one another. Just so that you know, chapter 14 entirely, in about half of chapter 15 to verse 13, that section is all in a one piece. You know, the chapters, the way it's divided out in the verses, that's not inspired from the Lord. I mean, those were all put in later to help us in our study or whatever else. So when you're looking at this, this is one letter that was given, and this is one thing that's being communicated. It's just taken me several weeks to communicate this little part. That's why we're looking at this and really getting the momentum. So not to cause somebody to stumble, to love others. Another pastor called me this week, and we were talking, and when we do this, so I'm in touch with a number of pastors. We talk through things together, just making sure that we're right with God. There's a great accountability amongst us. And he was telling me about a situation where a couple is living together, and he needs to speak to them about the situation. And first of all, I just says, well, first of all, you got to make sure, even though they're attending, but I'm glad that they're attending, but be very gracious, be very kind. You don't know where they're at spiritually. And he says, well, they both proclaim to be believers, but they're living together, but they said they're sleeping together, but nothing's going on together. Okay. All right. So I just says, here's the situation. Let's ask you a question. Is it the girl that wants the guy to be over or the guy that wants to be over with the girl? One wants it more than the other, probably. And he says, actually, it's the young lady. And says, don't say anything more. This young lady has been in a number of relationships. She's been hurt many times. People have walked out on her. She probably has difficulty in her background. It's been really tough for her. And she has a relationship with this fellow, and she doesn't want this to leave, and she feels a sense of security, and she wants to do whatever she can to keep it. And he says, do you know them? Have they already called you? He says, no. I just know that that's the situation. Be very gracious to her. There's a lot of hurt and a lot of pain that's there. You want to minister to her. You want to help them. He said, well, they said that they're all good because nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't sleep but not do nothing. And I says, I would get the guy aside and say, dude, if you're not interested in doing something, there's something wrong with you. And I'm serious. I mean, let's just be honest here. Like, what are you doing? You're messing around with what God has created and designed, and you're hurting her. You're hurting her. And the Bible tells us that you don't want to create a sense of a stumbling block. So we would go back to the scriptures, the very thing that we're looking at. It also tells us in the verse that we studied at the end of 13, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And I'm so thankful that we have opportunities to minister to one another, not dropping this heavy load of condemnation, but as a pastor saying, these are two hurting people that God has brought into your fellowship, and you get the privilege of helping to disciple them in the truth and the way of Jesus Christ. And hopefully they're responsive and delighted because you're looking out for them. You're providing for them. You're providing protection, and you're providing a way that their future can be of a greater blessing. So do not judge, and then it tells us not to create a stumbling block. And then today, in our lesson that we're looking to give glory to God, you'll notice in verse 6, back in Romans 15, 6, look there with me at 15, 6, chapter 15, verse 6, it says, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I leave here today, and it's not about how do I feel. It's about, was God glorified? Was God glorified here today? Was he glorified in the worship? Was he glorified by the welcoming? Was he glorified by what ministry is going on and back? Was he glorified through the fellowship with one another? Was God glorified? That's the measure of the presence of God in the working. Was he glorified here? That's what we want. That's our desire. God be glorified. Now, when we look at that scripture, God be glorified, we realize that it is really important in verse 5. Here's a key word in verse 5 of Romans 15. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ. We've been married nearly 37 years. It is impossible to be like-minded without the Spirit of God. I mean, you can't. I mean, we had such strong love getting married in our early 20s. I mean, put anything in front of us, our love will conquer all. About 3 months later, My goodness, you never showed all those tears while we were going out. I don't think there was full disclosure. She goes, you really paid attention to me. You're busy now about your career and your future. You see, the Bible is so openly honest to us all, and so is the scriptures. Every family has problems. Every marriage has struggles. Every fellowship has problems. Everyone. It's just the way that it is. It's the way that it is. Well, it says to be like-minded. Do you want to be like-minded in an instant? Yes, I do. Then die. Because as soon as I die, I'm totally like-minded. Everybody that's in heaven, we're all like-minded. I think, that's right. And then I hear this little voice from heaven to my heart. Start dying to yourself right now. Okay, I'm starting to understand this. I'm starting to understand this. You see, we got married just before Christmas time. So Valentine's Day was coming up shortly thereafter. And I don't know about your family and growing up, but everybody has their own family traditions. We never did presents in our family of 9 children, 11 altogether. All of our presents were after dinner together. That's when we did presents growing up. It's after dinner. They did gifts in the morning. I didn't know this. It's Valentine's Day. Now, this is not going to sound like a very romantic first year Valentine's gift, okay? You have to understand, you already understand. You know it's pretty well. But we got married, and the Lord let us manage this little apartment complex. And I was looking for work in Seattle, and we're just trusting Jesus. And my wife was working at the bank, And I was getting things ready in the house while she came home. And she'd come home and she'd start crying. What's wrong? That's what I wanted to do. Well, then quit your job. Quit my job? I can't. You don't even have a job right now. I know, but I'm just going to trust God. Again, I've only been a believer for like 5 months. I'm telling you, but I truthfully saying, she calls her mom. What should I do? You do what your husband says. But we don't have. You do what your husband says. So, we got to sleep in the next day. This is a little cute place. But we're working hard. We're believing God. We're not lazy. We're diligent. We're hard after just what God wants for us. We had a fireplace in this little place in Colorado. Couldn't use it because it needed a fireplace screen. And I scrounged up some money, and I found this fireplace screen. And that fireplace screen for the first Valentine's gift was going to come out that night with firewood all set, ready to go. My wife's been crying all day. You forgot the Valentine's Day. No. Wait, it's not here. You're just pretending like you're going to get the screen. You didn't really think about it. You thought about it because there's no gift right now. No, really, I was thinking about. Again, it's just like, okay, what am I going to do? I want to be like-minded, and I didn't even know that scripture at the time. I want to do this. Do you not understand that in life and in relationships, in families, in fellowships, there's expectations, there's difficulties, there's conflicts, there's things. And what happens is people get all put off about it, and then what happens is that you can get mad and bitter and angry and pout around and complain. All these things happen. They happen to all of us. They happen in our life. They happen in the workplace, happen at home, happen in church. And God says, wait a minute. Let's stop this. Let's grow up in the Lord. And all of us come into the faith at different places, but the goal of the ministry is to see us mature in Christ and not just sort of react to everything, but by the Holy Spirit respond. How do you do that? Back to chapter 15, verse 1. There's some quick points here that we need to make. It says, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So the first thing is, if I want to be like-minded, I'm realizing that there are brothers and sisters who are new in the faith. Or maybe they've been believers, but they haven't really grown in the faith. And things come along and they're challenged by certain things in their spiritual life. And he's saying, be patient with them. Be patient. Be loving to them. Bear the load and carry it. And that's what we try to do in our ministry. We ask you, if you are serving here in this ministry, but you realize you know something right now, because of my walk with the Lord or the way some decisions I've made, I'm just really not in a great place to be serving right now. You just let us know. And we say, that's okay. Don't be burdened by that. We'll carry that for you. But what we want you to do is be in a place just to receive God's love. Don't leave. Don't listen to the enemy. The enemy says, get out of here until you get it all together and then come back. Who are you? The enemy makes you feel like a hypocrite. And it's just like, that's not the truth. You're struggling in your walk. The Bible says the weak, they're part of our fellowship. We need the weak. We would be crippled as a fellowship without the weak. We would be crippled because what would it be? It'd be a lot of pride in our fellowship because we would be just flexing our spiritual muscles instead of saying, Lord, this Sunday, I'm going to come and worship you. I'm going to hear from the Word of God. I'm going to be amongst people. But Lord, by your Spirit, perhaps there's somebody whose load I might need to bear. I might need to pray for. May you give me a heart to see who here might need encouragement, prayer, or practical help. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 6, he gives us some specific instruction, because sometimes things have gone unattended for a period of time in someone's life. In other words, as a believer, they've been dealing and living in sin and hiding it. But it tells us in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So the first thing I want to do is, if I want to be like-minded, I need to understand there might be a brother or sister that God might want me to come alongside of and just say, you know something? It's been difficult. How can I help you? I want to help you. Not out of pride or arrogance or some sort of super spiritual power, out of humility, realizing I myself can find myself in that same situation. The second thing that we look at, again, back to chapter 15 and verse 1. So the first thing is I want to bear up others. I want to help carry the load for others. The second thing is not to please myself. Again, chapter 15 of Romans, and in verse 1, the second part of it, is not to please myself. That I want to be involved in pleasing others. By pleasing others, I please God. I want to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I want to please God, and by pleasing others, by thinking of others, not thinking of myself, is what God is wanting. Listen, I want to be like-minded. If we're like-minded, we're going to be united. And you're going to see that our like-mindedness is not over the Seahawks or some other person, event, or thing. We'll see in a few minutes, our like-mindedness is in Christ. So our like-mindedness is in Christ. And God isn't asking us to change the uniqueness of who we are. The uniqueness is a blessing of who you are. This uniqueness is like a unique spiritual DNA. I mean, it's what God's given to you. It's unique. So with the uniqueness in Him putting you together and making you how you are and coming into a body, we're not here to forge the new you. We're here for the Spirit of God to dominate you, that you would live the Christian life through the Spirit of God. And He gives us all the application in life to go back to these truths, to live it out. So I'm going to bear up with others. I want to please others instead of thinking of myself. And then in verse 2, it's really important to see, let each of us please his neighbor, so practically speaking, for his good, leading to edification. The word edification, it means to build up. So here we are as a ministry. This ministry will prosper and be powerful and be glorifying to God. How? If we grumble, if we complain, if we are dissenting, if we're speaking ill about one another, the ministry leaders, pastors, or one another? No. That's the way the enemy wants you to go. God says, no, 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 no. Stop judging, stop criticizing, stop putting stumbling blocks in the way. Think about other people. Bear up with others. Be patient. Figure out, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. How do you want to work? How can I be a blessing? And how can I build up someone else? Ephesians chapter 4, which is laying out for us what a church is. But in Ephesians chapter 4, and it tells us in verse 12, the ministry is for equipping of the saints. That means every believer is called a saint. To equip us for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. It says to us, no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or trickery of men in cunning, craftiness, deceitfulness, plotting, but rather speak the truth in love so that we can grow up. That's what I want. It's what I need. I need to grow up in love. That's what I want. And then God has allowed situations in our life constantly to show us how we can grow up in the Lord, how we can grow up in love. But you say, I'm getting this. I like this. I'm back here in Romans with you in 15. And it says in verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. As it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. What does that mean? To me, it means that Christ is our example. He's the one that we look to. In other words, Christ, who is absolutely perfect, no sin at all found in him, he subjected himself to the Father and to the will of the Father, and in doing so, so much reproach came against him. So what happens is when something comes against us, we might want to fight back, strike back. Hey, wait a minute, I know my rights. Did you ever hear Jesus Christ say, hey, stop it, I know my rights, I got rights here. No, Christ used his liberty to die for you and me. That's what he did. So we need to take to heart. We're living at a crazy time in our culture where self is being so exalted, unbelievably. And we see issues right now, issues of our day, whether it's homosexuality, same-sex marriage, confusion in who you are. I mean, every week, it seems as though the intensity of just ungodly living is before us. And God is saying, wait a minute. Draw near to me. Learn about me. I will help you. I will lead you. And what we will see, brothers and sisters, we will see at this time, the church that stays faithful to God will be the church that is used by God. Now, the commentary out on the street could be, you know, Pastor, you are a hateful person. Well, they don't know me. I would say that this would be a very loving fellowship. I'm a part of a very loving fellowship, and so are you. So you're a very loving person, very caring person. I know many of you personally, and I know the heart and the sacrifices and the love that you lay down your life for others. And it doesn't matter whether they're a Christian or not. You love people, and I appreciate that. This ministry would never say that they hate people. We do what God does. God says, I so love the world. We say, we so love the world. God says, repent and be born again. We say, repent and be born again. God says, I know the ways I have for you. We say, God knows the ways he has for you. The Bible says, there's a way that man thinks is right, but in the end is a way of death. There's a way that seems right to you, but the end is death. There's only one way. So we just repeat what God has given to us. We repeat the greatness of God and the purposes of God. And we see, practically speaking, we are not in any way, I will never draw back from bringing the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. And if I fall short in love and grace, then I will be accountable to that. And I would grow in that and ask God's help and ask for forgiveness if there was ever any sense of falling short in love. But I will not fall short in truth. We will bring the truth. The truth is the truth. It's not my opinion. It's what God has communicated. Now, look next in verse 4. In verse 4 of Romans 15, again, what we're saying is, at the end of this time and at the end of your day, when you put your head on the pillow, you'll say, God, did my life glorify you today? Did you receive glory today? Lord, just search me. Did you receive glory? Did I help that person that was weak? Did I consider how to be pleasing to somebody else instead of self-pleasing? Did I consider how I might build somebody else up, how I might encourage them? And then we see Christ as the example. Did I learn from Jesus something today about love? And in verse 4, and whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we look at through the patience and comfort of the scripture. might have hope. Wow. If we want to be like-minded, we need God's word. And it's God's word. He's going to take us through every situation. Not around it. He's going to take us through it. And he mentions patient and comfort. And that is so important. The gift set that I have, I like to use for the glory of God. But every strength, there's a weakness. I'm impatient. Patience is a very, very important part of what God has for us. Patience. It's really interesting. One of our Eagle Scouts is building a second shed out here, and Doug and I were talking a little bit yesterday, and there's a wonderful team of dads and young men putting it together, moms and others bringing food. It's a great teamwork. But as I was talking to Doug, it's interesting, just as two men pulled away, we're just talking together. If we wanted to see a shed built in the quickest time possible, probably 2 days and it's done, probably something like that, maybe, you know. But what we would miss out is that we would miss out on what God is accomplishing along the way. God is accomplishing time for men and young boys to be together. God is allowing us to trust him in and through this. God is showing us the virtue and the fruitfulness of being patient. It's a building time together. There's something where some of these young men may be using tools in certain ways for the very first time. It may mean buying an entire new lumber package. I'm not sure. But that one was a little bit short. But anyways, I haven't been out there. If I was out there, we'd buy more wood probably. But anyways, I'm just saying that as an illustration, that could be an illustration. And that's a wonderful illustration for ministry. Ministry takes time. We need to be patient. We need to understand that as God is working, whether it's in your life, in your marriage, in your workplace, in the church, we must be patient. And God is so patient with us. And then look at verse 6. As we look at verse 6, it tells us that we are wanting to be people that glorify God. Look at it again. That you may, with one mind and with one mouth, glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ministry is an interesting, it's just interesting. I'm sure being a parent is interesting. I know it is, and a grandparent. What God is looking to accomplish, a like-mindedness, it takes the absolute work of the Holy Spirit of God. There's no way that you or I, in my own power and my own strength, could make this happen. And you want to be careful about your comments regarding people serving in the ministry, whether it's pastor or leader. Some people will say, and I've heard through the years, because I've been involved in this for 30 years, well, it has to be Tom's way. I like to answer that. I believe it's God's way. Let me ask you this, moms and dads. When you're raising your children, I imagine your children at different times say, why does it have to be your way, Dad? Well, dads and moms, I hope you're doing your job. And hope God has given you a real clear vision for your family. And dads and moms, I hope you're laying down parameters that are going to help those young children understand that they can only work within a certain parameter. That's the parameter you have for them. Now, as soon as they're born, when your children arrive, you're preparing them to leave. When your children arrive in your house, you're actually preparing them to leave at some point. You're trying to help them. You're trying to equip them. And the whole goal isn't to keep them back, it's to let them move forward in a way that they can experience the responsibility that's suited right for their personal growth and development. Do you follow me on this? So as a parent, you're setting up those standards. You're setting that in place. And yes, mom and dad, it is your way. It's your way so that they can find God's way for them. But you're protecting them, and you're wanting the best for them. And you're wanting to see them flourish. And as they start to flourish, and as they start to have responsibilities, you want to give them more. You don't want to hold back. You want to give them more. The ministry is similar. It's a similar template to marriage and to family. And so, in a sense, as a pastor, you plow a field. You know the field. You know the boundaries within the field. And you have people in the field. And you set things in place not to hold anybody back, to see people prosper in what they have and what's ahead. And your children, when they get an attitude towards you, that can really set the whole house off. I'm not going to do that. People get attitudes in church. Those attitudes turn to pride. And pride turns to bitterness. And bitterness turns to gossiping and slandering and being used as a tool of the enemy to undermine a very important work of God. And you need to understand that. And Paul is addressing that. And he's saying, listen, you got choices. Every one of us have choices to make. And the choice is, am I going to follow God? Is my life going to glorify God? Am I going to sit around like a little child and pout and complain? And then go tell grandma? Or am I going to grow up? And see, the process that God has for us is to grow. So we come alongside of the weak and we help them and we establish them. And we care for them. And they know that they're more important than what they do. Who they are in Christ is the most important thing. And we look for ways that it's not about me or my agenda. Believe me, if it was about me or my agenda, I'd be in a different profession right now. And I'd work half as much as I work right now. It's not about me. It's about him. And I take to heart the responsibility he's called me to. I take it to heart. Your lives are, I'm responsible. I'm accountable to God. I don't govern your lives. I encourage you. I bring the truth. You're free. You're free in God to serve God, to live for God, to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. No one's holding you back. You're free to do what God has called you to do, what he wants you to do. But be wise. Be wise. Understand. A pastor lays down his life for the sheep. I'm not a hireling. I lay my life down for the sheep. So when we look at this, it is very essential. If this ministry is continue to grow and grow strong and grow in power and grow in fruitfulness, like-mindedness is the absolute key. Like-mindedness. Not to be like me, but rather, if we can turn to John's Gospel, chapter 17. In John's Gospel, chapter 17, we'll see what we want to be like, who we want to be like. In John 17:11, it says, now, Jesus speaking, Jesus praying, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, O Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are. Jesus is saying in his prayer to the Father, this church, Calvary Chapel Northwest, right now, right here, God, this is the church, these are the people. Now, for them to make a difference in their family, in their life, for them to have a difference that matters for all eternity, for their lives to really count, they must be one. Not one with the world, one with Christ. Experiencing the oneness and the fellowship with Christ in that sense of that like-mindedness. We're one together. Pam and I, as husband and wife, 37 years, we're one together. Children always want to divide parents. Well, what did mom say? What did dad say? Play them against each other. Listen, we're one. Parents, be one. The hardest thing right now is to be a single parent. And I'm sorry, I know that that's really, really hard, and we want to help you any way we can because you lose out on that one-mindedness. But parents, be one-minded. And for us as a believer, we're one-minded. It's not about me. It's like, how can I encourage you? How can I help you? What is it that you need? How can I build you up? God loves you. We're doing our part. We're giving the word of God here today. We give it every day in our discipleship living. We meet at different times and are giving out God's word. Because, brothers and sisters, when I put my head down tonight, when you put your head down tonight, and you're just there, and the day has gone by, and you look heavenward, and you say, God, did I glorify you today? Did I glorify you today? Thank you for helping me know you, helping me to become more like you. Forgive me, Lord, in the areas I fall short. Oh, forgive me. Help me, God. Be my strength. I want to be your man. I want to be the husband that pleases you, the father, the grandfather, the pastor, the friend that pleases you. God, be glorified. And then when I wake up in the morning, his mercies are there. Lord, another day, another day. God, may your mercies be strong. Give me what I don't deserve, Lord, your mercy and grace. My intention is to glorify you today, God. Be my strength. Be my courage. Be my encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for this last worship song. As the worship team's coming forward, I'd like to close in a prayer. As the worship team's coming forward, I'd like you to stand and I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word, and thank you, God, that you don't skirt around the issues. You just take it head on, and you show us as a church. And Paul was dealing with these churches in Rome. He's going to deal with the church in Corinth. These are real brothers and sisters, believers like us, and things haven't changed. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we're the same. We still have that sinful nature, a desire for self instead of God. Lord, thank you for the truth. There is no need for us to go down the wrong road relationally with you and with others. We want to make it our aim to please you. If you here today is you might need encouragement afterwards, we'll be up front. We want to pray for you. If you are searching and really seeking to have a relationship with God, in this last worship song, it's between you and God. You would say, God, you're here. And I'm hearing things that I need to hear. Forgive me of my sins. I want you, Jesus. I want you to be my Savior. I want to have a life with you. And perhaps you've been away for a while, but use that same sort of a prayer during this worship song. In your own heart, call out to God. He will answer you right now. He will answer you right where you're at. That's because he's God and he loves you and he's brought you here for the very purpose of knowing that he's never stopped loving you.